get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here loud and wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
To the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 231 of the report, and right now we're rocking out to some The Internet. Girl, rock out with your boy. Tuesday night, man. It's a Tuesday cold night here in Michigan, man. Working set up to sundown, man. I didn't get home till late. But we still got some podcasting in, man. Recorded episode number 7 of the Baywatch podcast. You guys will be getting that on Friday, as you should. We did the beer and chicken on Sunday. And we're doing the Span Report podcast tonight. And tonight is a little bit of a departure from the regular scheduled Span Report, man. We're going to be doing something a little bit different. It's not, we're not going to do any of our segments tonight, man. Like, there's going to be no Proud to Be an American, no Blue Blazer, nothing. I'm going to talk about one thing and one thing only, and that's this Kevin Hart shit, man. Real talk. Only because I haven't had a chance to really, really, really get in deep as to what I want to say, how I want to respond to some of the people that I am associated with, friends of mine, people I know, And not only that, like the larger overall like attitude surrounding this entire fucking thing. Let me go ahead and turn this off real quick. But yeah, man, this is it. Like we're going to be talking about this tonight. So this may not necessarily be, if you don't want to hear this shit, man, this might not necessarily be your episode, man. Cause I feel like I may go in. So, yeah, we're going to do that. But before we do that, of course, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spam Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I'll replay them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails and respond to you live here on the show as well. Follow your man Span on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man throughout the week. Hit us up on the iTunes and or Stitcher reviews, man. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read. So leave us a review on iTunes and or Stitcher. We will read those reviews on the air. And we'll reply to you guys here live on the air as well, man. And we really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. 2 minutes of your time is all it takes to let folks know why you fucking with us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast, or not fucking with us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast, but those 5-star views are the only ones that get read here at the Spirit Report Podcast. Real talk. And go to this website, www.thespiritreport.com. Go there and watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can donate as much as you like, as often as you like. Of course, we appreciate every dime here at the Spam Report Podcast Network. And you can also go to the Spam Report Podcast Network store over at TeePublic. The links will be in the show notes, but you can also go to the website and hit the TSRPN store, and it'll take you right over to the store over at TeePublic, man. So go ahead and cop yourself some merch. Get yourself a t-shirt or get yourself a hoodie. It's kind of cold outside. Get yourself a thermos or some shit. Get yourself a coffee mug because it's cold outside. Make you some hot chocolate. Get that hot chocolate up in your life, man, with the marshmallows and shit. Or, you know, get yourself a French vanilla, you know, mocha cappuccino or some shit. You know, do your thing, man. But do it in the Spam Report Podcast shit. That'd be dope. That'd be dope. But, yeah, man, go there to the Spam Report Podcast Network store and patronize us there, man. We really do appreciate everybody who does that as well, man. Real talk. But, yeah, man, I haven't really been up to much outside of work. Yeah, man, that's it, man. Like it's work. It's a sun up, sun down kind of thing with the weather being what it is and it being the winter time and everything and, you know, getting ready for Christmas time and whatnot. It's a constant grind, man. And so that's pretty much what your man's been on. But I did have a couple random thoughts, man. And they're like really, really, well, actually just one. Really, just one random thought, man. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks this, right? And what made me think about this is when George W. Bush died last week. I've been noticing a lot of like flags flown at half staff across the country. You know, like across like the Detroit area, man. You can ride past places, like even at my place of employment, man. We got our flag flown at half staff and stuff. And you know, you ride past like a gas station, the flag is flown at half staff. And I know it's like customary for you to do that for the death of a fallen president and everything. But I was wondering, man, like so, like our funeral homes supposed to fly their flags at half staff like all the time, no? Like real talk, I wonder about that. Like, is that something that like supposed to happen? I mean, cause you think about it, like, you know, you fly your flags at half staff if like a veteran falls, you know what I'm saying? Or a veteran passes away. I know a lot of VFW posts that do it and whatnot. I'm sure a funeral home gets like a veteran in there like every week at least. Do they fly their flags at half staff all the time? I don't know, man. Somebody who's working in mortuary sciences or something like that, let me know. Right into the show, let me know. I can't be the only one who believe like thinks that though. Like, are they supposed to do that? Something I was thinking about. I probably shouldn't be thinking like that, but it was something I was thinking about. But yeah, man, we gonna kind of get into this, man, because like I had a whole ass show. I mean, I did. I had like a few topics, and I pushed some of them. Some of those things I'm probably gonna talk about next week. I had a whole lot of shit, man, and I just realized that like one of the things about the way that I work is that like I sometimes know that like there are some things that I haven't really been able to pay a whole hell of a lot of attention to, and so I wouldn't do the topics justice by talking about them here on the show if I haven't really had a chance to like really digest the topic and like, you know, go over it in my mind and how I want to talk about it, or just like really work through my thoughts on it, right? But this one particular topic I've been having many a conversation about over the course of the last week, through with friends and with, you know, strange motherfuckers on YouTube and stuff like that. And it's one of those things, man, where like I want better for us. And this is why I feel like I need to talk to, you know, I know, like, even in doing this podcast, man, like, it may not result in much changing whatsoever, right? It may not change absolutely nothing. But I feel better getting these thoughts and getting these feelings off my chest, putting it on the mic and letting it, you know, letting the world judge how your man Span feels about these things, right? And so we're talking about Kevin Hart tonight, right? Kevin Hart was selected as the host of the upcoming Oscar Awards. I don't know when those damn things even air, right? I know they're coming up. And I know, like, a lot of folks are, like, you know, trying to figure out which movies are going to win Best Picture and whatnot. I know, like, folks are talking about Black Panther might have a shot at it and everything. And Kevin Hart was selected to host that show, man. Like, and it's a big deal for someone of Kevin Hart's stature, right? Like, you think about where Kevin Hart started from doing Paper Soldiers to hosting the motherfucking Oscars. It's a goddamn come up, bruh. It's the come up of all come ups. Like, you look at where Kevin Hart started, man, like Paper Soldiers, fucking Soul Plane, to being a multi-million, 100-millionaire kind of motherfucker, 12 movies a year, all over the goddamn place, got shoes by Nike, got fucking, like, just all over the place. You cannot escape Kevin Hart, man. The dude is doing well for himself. He had been doing well for himself. And you find him stumbling over some real trivial shit. Not trivial in the sense of the topic is trivial, not at all, but the way in which he handled it is real fucked up. So so he's selected as the host of the upcoming Oscars, and tweets of his become public. Like, they've always been public, but, you know, they kind of resurfaced. Somebody went and looked through his tweets and whatnot, and they found some tweets that he had put out back in you know, like 2010, 2012, you know, like some old tweets, man. They went back and they found some old tweets of him saying some questionable shit about gay people, right? Questionable shit. Now, for those of us, and I would include myself in this, for those of us who get on microphones, excuse me, and we sometimes perform, sometimes we inform, but we're putting our thoughts and our creativity and our feelings out onto these microphones, and we're projecting that out into the world. And after we project that out into the world, now the world, it's up to the world to kind of judge us on what we do and what we say, right? And for those of us who do that, some of us may get caught up having said some really fucked up shit. It's bound to happen, right? If you do this long enough, if you do any sort of public speaking long enough, you will fuck up. You will say some shit that's wrong. I mean, that's just how it goes, man. I think back to when I first started podcasting. Or back, shit, even before when I first started podcasting, when I first started on YouTube. Back in like 2008, 2009, we going back 10 years. Probably longer than that. I haven't looked to see what my first YouTube video was, right? And to see where your man Span is and where your man Span is now, it's a totally different dude that you're getting, right? Totally different dude. You're bound to fuck up. But the key to fucking up is acknowledging you fucked up and apologizing when you fuck up, when folks call you out on it, right? So Kevin Hart had these tweets come out. He had these tweets come, or basically come to everyone's attention. These very homophobic tweets that he had put out years ago. And folks were, after the announcement had been made, that he was going to be the host of the Oscars. Somebody came up with those tweets and they like, yo, this is what this motherfucker did. Y'all look like peep this, right? Now I'm gonna try to I want y'all to think about this for a second. I can understand that there are folks who are apprehensive about the fact that there are people who will go look through your tweets when you have something good happening for you. They will go back and look to see where they can find a gotcha moment, right? Like, oh man, well, you did, you doing this, this big shit is happening for you right now. What about this shit right here? Remember this shit right here, nigga? Remember this shit right here? Remember when you said this dumb shit? What about that? And the way to diffuse a lot of that shit is, if you are sincere, is to say, hey man, you know what? I did say those things. I sounded like a fucking fool saying those things. I don't believe that anymore. Now, that's how you that's how I would feel like you would initially attack that, right? Like, hey man, like I get it. What I said was fucked up. There's no excuse for it. I was wrong. Period. I've done that here on this show. Where I've said some shit that was fucked up. And I've told y'all, like, if you went back and you listened to like episode 3, 4, 5 of the Spam Report, man, it's some, man, it's fucked up. I said some fucked up shit on his mic. Even going back into YouTube, yo, your man Spam said some fucked up shit. I wasn't nearly as what we would call enlightened or woke, so to speak, as I am now. I didn't understand how a lot of these things work, whether it be with politics, whether it be with homosexuality, or basically the LGBTQ community. I was like out here ignorant as hell and not afraid to say so, right? I was out here loud and wrong. Loud and wrong. Right? So Kevin Hart, as opposed to, instead of apologizing for the shit that he tweeted, here's what Kevin Hart decided he was going to do. He decided he was going to do an Instagram video with no shirt on to talk about the furor that was being raised up over these old tweets that he put out years ago. Check this out.
I swear, man, our world is becoming beyond crazy. I'm not going to let the craziness frustrate me or anger me, especially when I worked hard to get to the mental space that I am at now. My team calls me, oh my God, Kevin, the world is upset about tweets you did years ago. Oh my God. Guys, I'm almost 40 years old. If you don't believe that people change, grow, evolve as they get older, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to hold people in a position where they always have to justify or explain their past, then do you. I'm the wrong guy, man. I'm in a great place, a great mature place, where all I do is spread positivity. If you're not doing that, you're not on my page.
All right. So, not an apology, right? All he did was say, I'm in a great space. All I'm doing is spreading positivity. You know, the world is going crazy. People are mad about these tweets that you put out years ago. People grow. But you haven't shown us that, right? And here was an opportunity right now. Here is an opportunity for you to show a little bit of your growth. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said those things. They were ignorant. I was dumb. You won't hear these things from me again. I sincerely apologize. The end. The end. Right? But that's not what he did. He decided to, like, nah, y'all tripping. The world is tripping. Right? This shit has 327 likes right now on Instagram. this non-apology apology, right? So you got that going on. And by him not apologizing, I just said this, it has over 300,000 likes. This is where I started finding out that I've got friends. There are people that I know who think that Kevin Hart shouldn't apologize, right? That he shouldn't apologize at all. Like, they don't believe that Kevin Hart said anything wrong. And this is where I get frustrated. This is where I start to get pissed. And this is where I start to get, where my patience starts running a little low. Because I'm trying to have patience, because I understand that I also used to kind of traffic in some of the same bullshit that, you know, that has them ensnared. And so I'm trying to have the patience for that, because I know that it took a while. It took some time for me to get it, right? It took a while for me to get it. So I'm trying to have patience, but at the same time, being frustrated with, why aren't you getting this? Why isn't this something that you can understand? Like, why aren't you getting this? How fucked up this is, right? And I'm having conversations with homies, and it's like, man, what is he apologizing for? He ain't even say shit that was wrong, man. What are he apologizing for? Man, you gonna apologize for shit you said 10 years ago? I have. You gonna let motherfuckers keep coming up to you talking about some, oh man, well, you said this back in 2008, but now you talking about this shit. I'm like, dude, do you understand what I do? I do a podcast. I've been on YouTube. Like, it's a whole bunch of shit that I've been out here saying. And if somebody's called me out on it, if I feel like I was wrong in saying what I said, then I'm not above apologizing for that. I've done so on the mic. But the problem is, far too many of us feel as though what Kevin Hart was doing and has said wasn't wrong. And therein lies the disconnect, right? Kevin Hart not apologizing, and then therefore foregoing his Oscar gig, is the stupidest shit in a long time. And it's stupid in two ways. One, because had you apologized off rip, you would still be able to host the Oscars. And two, you apologized after you done lost this gig. What was the point of the apology afterwards, right? Because now your apology comes off as insincere. Now it's like, well, shit, I guess I'll apologize to shut y'all the fuck up. Right? It doesn't come off as the thing that you, I don't know if I really believe you on this one, bruh. Like, man, we had to pull teeth to get a fucking apology out of you, when you could have just did this shit as easily in the beginning. Right? But Kevin Hart is indicative of a culture and of a mentality, excuse me, that doesn't believe that anything that he did towards the LGBTQ community was wrong. Right? Doesn't believe it was wrong. And we're going to kind of dispel a little bit of that. And we're going to also kind of get at some of these dudes, or some of these, well, mostly dudes. It's been mostly brothers. Let's just keep it 100. It's been mostly brothers who have been going out of their fucking way to defend Kevin Hart and this bullshit. Right? So one of the things that I saw on social media was the fact that D.L. Hughley and Snoop Dogg have come out in defense of Kevin Hart. So we're going to go ahead and pull this up. Let me let you guys pull this up in the chat so you guys can watch this right along with your boy. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and pull this up. Check this video out. Really,
you're now watching Catching Up with Celebrities. Please subscribe.
Oh, that sucks.
Hey, kid. Don't trip. That ain't our kind of shit, no way. Oscars?
Who's inviting Snoop Dogg to the Oscars? Like, yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, well, that ain't our shit. Like, no, it ain't your shit, right? That ain't even the lane that you are trafficking in. Kevin Hart saw this as a huge opportunity. A huge opportunity that he just let go by the wayside out of pride to not fucking apologize for some shit that he probably thinks is wrong now. But Snoop Dogg said it's all right. Don't want, that ain't even our shit. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, right. Come do the BET Awards, cuz. Or Soul Train. They don't care. You a comedian. Cracking jokes. Really? Y'all want me to host it now? Nah, I don't think so.
Nobody was asking this nigga to host the Oscars.
I got shit to do. And I got way more customers before I get to you. Kevin Hart, smoke a blunt. Tell the Academy to die trying. Fuck them. We still love you, nigga.
If you love them, why would you tell them, fuck them, and fuck off a chance at expanding your career? Because I know this is something he wants to do. Why would you tell him, fuck it? Unless, of course, you don't give a shit. Unless, of course, you don't want to see him expand on what he's built up to this point. Right? Because taking this route, he kind of fucking with his money. Right? Not only is he fucking with his money, but he's fucking with his opportunities going forward. Right? Snoop Dogg ain't got shit to lose in this. Snoop Dogg ain't got shit to lose. So it's very easy for us to be like, yo, man, well, fuck it. Fuck it. It's a whole lot of motherfuckers like, I wouldn't apologize for shit. Yeah, you also ain't got a whole hell of a lot invested in this either.
Fuck the Grammys, too.
So let me get this straight. A comedian tells a joke that offends people and refuses to apologize. And people want to know what I think of that. Fuck them if they can't take a joke. Well played, Kevin Hart. That is how it's done. People always go, why do comedians get away with it? Because we're not scared to get fired. You can say whatever you want to if you're not scared to lose your gig. Well done, Kevin Hart. Fuck them if they can't take a joke.
So I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on and find another host. Talking about the tweets from 2009-2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. I've spoken on it. I've said where the rights and wrongs were. I've said who I am now versus who I was then. I've done it. I'm not going to continue to go back and tap into the days of old when I moved on and I'm in a completely different space in my life. The same energy that went into finding those old tweets could be the same energy put into finding the response to the questions that have been asked years after years after years. We feed in the internet trolls and we reward them. I'm not going to do it, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to stay on my ground. Regardless, Academy, I'm thankful and appreciative of the opportunity. If it goes away, no harm, no foul.
You're right. Now watching Catching Up.
Okay, so you said all of that. Kevin Hart said all of that. And still fucking apologize later. What the fuck were you standing on your ground? What ground were you standing on if you weren't going to apologize later? That was stupid. Stupid. And then we got this whole thing with like comedians, right? Because one of my partners is a comedian, man. One of my partners, really funny guy, man. I like his shit. I really do. And we had a few back and forths on this, right? And this idea that, you know, and D.L. Hughley kind of spoke to this a little bit, that comedians get away with this because they're comedians, or y'all are, you know, like a comedian told a joke and it offended people. And there's this idea, right? There's this whole thing where people act as if folks are too sensitive nowadays. They're too sensitive. Can't tell a joke. Man, y'all tripping, man. We can't, you know, y'all cramping the comedian style, man. You know, y'all got all these safe spaces and all this other shit, man. And y'all can't take a joke and, you know. And I've said this on this show that what's funny is up to the audience. The comedian isn't the arbiter of what's funny, at least in the grand scheme of things. If you can't make a room full of motherfuckers laugh, you may not necessarily be funny. If you make a room full of comedians laugh, like, well, the comedians, you know, in the back room, we all laugh. We thought that shit was great. But if the room of paying customers ain't finding your shit funny, you might not be that funny. Your customers are the ultimate arbiters of what they think is funny or not. And if your customers are saying, hey, man, that's some bullshit. That's some hack shit. I don't want to hear that. That's fucked up. You might want to switch your shit up a little bit. You might want to make yourself palatable to the paying fucking audience, right? The other thing about this is that for years, man, for years, marginalized groups of folks have been the butts of jokes from time immemorial, right? The people who had the least amount of power, the people who had the smallest voices, couldn't do much about being made fun of by those of privilege, those of power, those of means. And what a lot of these comedians are finding out is, yo, with social media, with the way that things are now, these marginalized groups have voices and have means, and they can shout you the fuck down. And it scares a lot of these motherfuckers, especially the hacks, right? Especially the motherfuckers who can't work around or be creative enough to make a joke without falling into, well, I'm going to make this cheap gay joke real quick. I'm going to make this cheap transphobic joke real quick. Get a couple cheap laughs to get this shit started. Because the gay community is like, nah, fuck that. I ain't got to sit here and listen to this bullshit, man. And truth be told, nobody else has to listen to this bullshit. When was the last time y'all heard from Michael Richards? Michael Richards, y'all remember Michael Richards, right? Michael Richards was the dude from Seinfeld. He played Kramer on Seinfeld. Michael Richards was a quote-unquote comedian. Michael Richards got on stage and started yelling out, nigga. On stage, getting into it with people in the crowd. Matter of fact, let me pull this motherfucking video up. Because I know goddamn well. Y'all wouldn't be cool with that. Whoops. I misspelled that. All right. So here's video of Michael Richards.
Shut up! 50 years ago, they had you upside down with a fucking fork up your ass.
So there are people laughing at that, right? There are people laughing at that. They found that funny. How many of those you think were black folks? How many of those you think were black folks? He's at the Laugh Factory in L.A. I believe this is what, 2012? Michael Richards is on stage doing his bit.
You can talk your brain now, motherfucker. Blow his ass out. He's a nigger.
Oh my God.
A nigger, look, there's a nigger!
Ooh. Ooh. All right, you see? It shocks you to see what's buried beneath your stupid motherfuckers. What was it called for? It's not called for you to hear on my ass, you cheap motherfucker! You guys have been talking and talking and talking. I don't know.
This is a part of his bit. He's right now performing. He called him a nigger 5 times. How many of you motherfuckers would be cool with that? How many of you motherfuckers who claim that people are too fucking sensitive would be cool with the comedian going out making a whole bunch of racist ass jokes? You wouldn't. Now, one of my partners was talking about, yo, man, I really did like Louis C.K. Louis C.K. did a joke where he said, and the punchline was, that nigga really made the hell out of that coffee. I've heard the fucking joke. I didn't find it funny. Whole lot of other folks didn't find it funny. Ironically, Louis C.K. has shown himself to be a pissant individual by whipping his dick out on other on women in the fucking dressing room. Jerking off in front of these women. Got caught up in the Me Too movement. But, you know, people are just way too sensitive. Some of you motherfuckers got personal, like, some of you motherfuckers wouldn't be cool with the racist shit, but y'all want gay people, the LGBTQ community, to be cool with the gay jokes and the transphobic jokes and the prison rape jokes. You want them to be cool with that. They're being sensitive by calling this shit out, but somehow the racist jokes, that's a step too far. How does that work, man? How does that work? How does that disconnect in your fucking brain persist? Because, again, I say this as someone who used to traffic in that line of thinking. But in 2018, how does that line of thinking persist with you? How does it do that? How do you make the distinction between discrimination and your blackness, right? Because there's a whole lot of black dudes coming up and stepping forward for Kevin Hart. Like, man, I wouldn't apologize for shit. It was a joke. You're a comedian. Yada, yada, yada. Hey, man. You being a comedian doesn't absolve you of the fucking response, of the consequences of what the fuck it is you say. You can't hide behind it's just jokes all the time. And even if they are just jokes, everybody ain't gonna find your shit funny. That's not how it works. And in 2018, we should fucking know this by now. We should know this. This should be a layup. Kevin Hart could have easily been like, yo, I fucked up, man. I'm sorry. I don't even believe that shit anymore. You'll never hear no bullshit like that coming out of my mouth again. And there he has the Oscars. He's hosting the Oscars. And that's it. But pride, man. Pride. There was a story earlier in the week, man. As a matter of fact, let me see if I can pull this up on my Facebook. There was a story earlier in the week. As a matter of fact, the Heisman Trophy winner, Kyler Murray, right? Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy this week. And this video is about to start playing. Okay, it's muted. He won the Heisman Trophy this week. Junior quarterback out of Oklahoma. I'm going to read the story. This comes out of Drio.com. It says, University of Oklahoma junior quarterback Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy last night in New York City, but instead of celebrating the accomplishment, he was apologizing for homophobic tweets that he made a few years ago as a high school student, reports Yahoo Sports. The series of tweets was unearthed shortly after he was announced as the winner of this on Saturday night, beating Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and Ohio State QB Dwayne Haskins. Murray, who was now the latest athlete to have old, racist, homophobic, or offensive tweets resurface on the night of a major accomplishment. Earlier in the year, Josh Allen had a series of racist tweets surface just before he was taken by the Buffalo Bills in the NFL draft. In July, Milwaukee Brewers relief pitcher Josh Hader had racist and homophobic tweets from his teen years surface during Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. This news also comes days after Kevin Hart stepped down as host of the Academy Awards following homophobic comments and tweets he made in the last few years. Now, how is it that a fucking college kid has the wherewithal and the sense to apologize for the bullshit he said, even though he was a goddamn kid? Even though he was a goddamn kid. People went and they found some shit he said and they brought it up, and there's something to be said about the people who go and look for shit, who are out there actively looking for shit to bring up in your brightest moment, right? There's something to be said about that. However, he had the wherewithal and the sense. This kid had the sense to say, hey, man, I fucked up. My bad. And we'll probably never hear about this shit again. Because he had the wherewithal and the sense to say, I fucked up. That was stupid of me to do that. This dude is 21 years old. He was 14 to 15. The tweets that they found were when he was 14, 15 years old. Kevin Hart is damn near 40 years old. He went on to make sure he, we knew that. I'm 40. I've grown. But he hasn't shown the growth, apparently. Being 40 doesn't mean that you've evolved in any goddamn thing. I know a whole lot of motherfuckers who are damn near 40 who got a whole lot of fucked up ways, and they've had their fucked up ways since they were younger and never got away from them. And to a large extent, like, I don't think they ever will. Right? Because they haven't seen, it hasn't clicked with them why what they're doing is fucked up. Right? They have a small sphere of what the world is, and that's all they're concerned with. So in that small sphere, being a homophobic motherfucker is okay. In the larger scheme of the world, it's not. But in that small sphere, that's where they want to exist. So Kevin Hart doesn't have the sense to apologize for this shit, but Kyler Murray, a 21-year-old kid in Oklahoma, knows that, like, yo, I said some fucked up shit when I was 14, 15, man. And he's probably going to say some more dumb shit. He's only 21. But he's probably going to say some more dumb shit. And he's going to probably apologize for that shit later. He's going to have to. If you live long enough, you're going to have to apologize for some shit. You're going to be wrong about some shit. Trust me, I know. So, we've talked about Kevin Hart. We talked about his refusal to apologize. And we even brought up some of the, you know, the people who have, you know, kind of, I don't know, championed him on, cheerleaded on the sideline, so to speak. The thing that I guess the thing that's bothering me the most about most of this is the attitude that Kevin Hart did nothing wrong. Right? I think that's the thing that bothers me the most. And the reason why it bothers me is because, truth be told, man, like, black men, I would not say that we are the most homophobic group at all. I think homophobia runs the gamut of every fucking culture, every fucking age, every fucking race. But speaking here for here in America, we have a propensity to be the ones who are out here loud and wrong when it comes to the LGBTQ community. Like, we just have this propensity to be out here. Like, we will go out here and articulate how loud and wrong we are. Where a lot of folks were like, you know, like, I know, like, there's a whole bunch of gay, like, I'm sorry, white bigots when it comes to homosexuality or when it comes to the LGBTQ community. Like, there's a whole hell of a lot of that. But somehow, some way, and maybe because of practice, because white folks get called out on a lot of shit, right? Like, white folks get called out on their shit all the time. So maybe because they get called out all the fucking time, they're smart enough to not go out and articulate their own bigotry to some degree. I mean, you got the few that come out and, you know, they don't give a fuck until, like, their pockets get hit. And then, like, oh my God, I said some fucked up shit. I'm sorry, right? But for the most part, because I think white folks get called out all the time, they've kind of learned that there are certain things that you can't say, certain things that you can't do when it comes to a certain segment of the population. Whereas with us, because we don't see ourselves and because other folks don't see us as part of the privileged group, we sometimes get out here on that limb and say some stupid shit. And then we look back like, well, what the fuck y'all? Why y'all mad at me? I'm talking about brothers. I'm talking about us. I've watched so many brothers come out and say that being gay is a choice, that you can't compare the black struggle to the gay struggle, that I've seen a lot of stupid shit. One of the things that really bothers me, and when you know better, you do better. But one of the things that really bothers me is when we get to talking about the comparisons, right? Because there's a whole lot of people who act as though the gay struggle and the black struggle are mutually exclusive, as if there isn't a such thing as gay black people, as if gay black people stop experiencing homophobia because they're away from white folks. Excuse me. There's a whole lot of folks who seem to have this line of thinking. Like, I've seen people just today talk about, yo, the gay community has co-opted the black struggle and they've taken over your struggle and now they got more rights than you do. Nigga, what? Nigga, what? Like, or the gay struggle or gay people can hide, right? Like, yo, gay people, yo, they can, you know, they can hide who they is. I can't hide my blackness. My blackness is seen all over me. As if gay people stop being gay when they're black. As if they were gay. Like, yo, somebody said, yo, you can't compare the gay struggle to black people because we were slaves for 400 years. Like, first of all, nigga, you were not a slave. Let's just cut through the bullshit right now. Nigga, you were not a slave. You are the descendant of slaves. You personally were not a slave. So let's just stop the slave comparison right there, because that doesn't apply to you. Doesn't it all? Now, let's talk about the basics, right? One, when 110 in the racism, have you been the victim of being denied service because you were black, right? You went to a restaurant. Restaurant was like, nah, we ain't got no tables, man. You know, we kind of packed. It's going to be an hour or so before we can get you a seat. And you looking like, man, but it's booths over there, man. Like, y'all can't, like, you know, clean up one of them booths or whatever, man. Them motherfuckers ain't even here, bro. Like, nah, you know, we all booked up, man. You know, those are reserved and whatnot. We can't open up, you know, those seats for you. You denied service because you're black, right? You don't think that gay people are denied service because they're gay? You don't think that's a thing? Do y'all remember Kim Davis? Kim Davis, who was the county clerk in Kentucky, I believe it was, one of the county clerks in Kentucky, who was denying service to gay couples who wanted to go to the county clerk's office to get their marriage license so that they can get married. They had letters from the governor of the state. The Supreme Court ruled in their favor. Gay marriage was the law of the fucking land. But that didn't stop Kim Davis. Check this out.
In Kentucky, the county clerk defying the Supreme Court denying same-sex couples marriage licenses. She returned to work today with an armed escort and turning down yet another gay couple. We know some of those couples documenting their encounters with the woman who insists she is following God's authority, not the Supreme Court's. ABC's Alex Prez now on what that county clerk is now asking for.
County Clerk Kim Davis defiant today, her husband at her side, armed with a handgun tucked in his waistband. Waiting for her inside, another gay couple looking for a marriage license.
Your interpretation of the Bible does not trump the Constitution.
Your interpretation.
Amen.
Amen.
My God is loving.
Faith first.
not.
Davis today asking a federal judge to allow her to deny marriage licenses to same-sex couples while her case makes its way through the courts. The controversial clerk catapulted to the spotlight in July with this cell phone video. David Moore and David Ermold arriving for a marriage license.
If I could mention, I have a letter from the governor's office stating that all the county clerks are to issue marriage licenses. And I also have the Supreme Court ruling.
Davis turning them away. They tried again in August and again yesterday. Same result.
When you heard her say she's working under God's authority,
yes.
What did you think?
You are not in the church. I respect religion. I respect people's faith. Okay, but this is a civil institution.
But in this small town of about 6,900 people, Kim Davis has her supporters too.
I'm standing behind her because I believe she is right. She's following God's law, and I believe that trumps all.
Now, interestingly enough, a lot of y'all, a lot of brothers, are against gay marriage or against homosexuality because of religion. And y'all sound just like that little white woman in Kentucky who was talking about she's following God's law. Y'all remember how them same people in Kentucky was using God's law to justify keeping your ass in fucking chains? Do you remember that? They use that same ass Bible, dog, to keep your ass, well, not you, your ancestors enslaved, my nigga. They use that same ass book to keep you, your ancestors, enslaved. That same book, you then therefore go around, turn around and say, yo, gay people shouldn't be able to get married. We got to protect the sanctity of marriage. Meanwhile, niggas is out here getting divorced like a motherfucker, yo. Divorce rates like 50% and shit. This same woman, Kim Davis, having been married 4 fucking times. But she's going to deny this privilege to a gay couple because she doesn't believe it's right with the Bible. Come on, man. Y'all gonna use that same ass religion to deny another folk, another person the right to do, to marry. Right? Y'all gonna use that same Bible to deny that. The same Bible that kept your ancestors in chains. Right? But the comparison doesn't fit, right? Nah, Span, that old man, you know, we can't do that, man. You know, those things aren't parallel, man. Those things don't compare. That's bullshit. They were denied service because they were gay. Much like in Colorado, where a baker denied service to a gay couple to make them a cake simply because they were fucking gay. It's no different than you being denied service from you being black. I don't serve niggas around here. That's just not what we're gonna do. You can take your nigger ass down to the west side where those niggas are, and they'll make you a cake. I'll be goddamn if I make your nigger ass a cake. How much different is that than saying, I'm not making your faggot ass a cake? I'll be goddamn if I'm going to do that, you goddamn sodomites. How is that any different, man? It's not. It's the same fucking shit. Another story, man, like y'all talked about, like when we talk about these comparisons. So there is a, this is idea that gay people aren't killed because they gay, right? Now, we talk all the time about Black Lives Matter, man. I'm a big proponent of Black Lives Matter. I go in on the cops all day long on this bitch, right? Don't nobody fuck with gay people because they gay. Like, the police fuck with us all the time, man. This, that, and the other. These racist motherfuckers, man. They getting off this, that, and the other. Yo, man, there's a story coming out of New York City of a man attacking a woman on the subway because she's gay, breaking her fucking spine. We're going to read the story. This comes out of NBC.com. It says a 20-year-old woman was hospitalized and suffered a broken spine after being attacked in the subway by a man using anti-gay slurs, according to the New York City Police Department. The unidentified male used a slur based upon his interpretation of the victim's sexual orientation, the NYPD said in an email statement to NBC News. As the victim walked away from the unidentified male, he approached from behind, punched the victim in the back of her head, and shoved her to the ground, causing her to strike her head. Police said the man fled the scene on the November 30th crime, exiting the subway system at the Forest Hills stop in Forest Hills, a neighborhood in the borough of Queens. The New York Police Department released a video clip and image of the suspect and is now seeking the public's help in identifying him. Police described him as black, 5'11", 220 pounds, 50 to 60 years old. Now, what would prompt a dude of 50 to 60 years of age to attack a 20-year-old woman on the motherfucking subway and make reference to her sexual orientation or what he perceived to be her sexual orientation, other than the fact that he just hated her because she was fucking gay? It says the New York Daily News provided additional details about the attack, reporting that the suspect became incensed after he saw the victim kiss another woman aboard the E train in Queens, adding that he then called her, the victim, a dyke before physically assaulting her. But we're going to act as though these jokes about gay people and homosexuality are just harmless, man. They just jokes. These niggas just need to take, they need to be able to take a joke. Fuck you, man. You wouldn't accept this shit if it was about race. And that's what pisses me off the most. We wouldn't accept this shit. We wouldn't accept this shit. And we wouldn't expect anybody else to accept this shit if it were about race. We wouldn't. We flat fucking wouldn't. And y'all know we wouldn't. And that's what pisses me off the most. Here's another story. This comes right out of my motherfucking backyard, yo. This comes right out of Detroit. As a matter of fact, I believe we do have video attached to this, and we don't. But we'll read this story. This comes out of clickondetroit.com. And this happened December 11th. Just yesterday here in Detroit, a Sterling Heights man charged in transgender woman's murder in Detroit. A Sterling Heights man is charged in the shooting death of a transgender woman in Detroit. Wayne County prosecutors say a 46-year-old Albert Weathers shot and killed Kelly Stowe. Weathers was arraigned on charges of open murder and using a firearm in the commission of a felony. His bond is set at $1 million and his next court date is set for December 20th, 2018. Old black dude, 46 years old, attacking a transgender person, killing a transgender person right here in motherfucking Detroit. Right? There's another story right here in motherfucking Detroit. Let me pull this up. Is there video attached to this? I thought there was video attached to these, but apparently there isn't. But we're going to read this story out of clickondetroit.com. It says the man accused of shooting a transgender woman at a gas station on Detroit's west side last month will stand trial for ethnic intimidation and other crimes, officials announced. Deonton A. Rogers, 29, is accused of approaching the woman and making a crude remark inside the mobile gas station at West 7 Mile and Greenfield Roads on July 23rd in Detroit. Officials believe the incident began outside the gas station and continued inside. Judge William McConico of the Michigan 36th District Court bound Rogers over for trial Wednesday. Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy charged Rogers with discharging a firearm in a building causing serious injury, discharging a firearm in a building causing serious impairment of bodily function, felonious assault, felon in possession of a firearm, fourth-degree child abuse, ethnic intimidation based on gender, and felony firearms violation. He was bound over on all counts. Now, it says officials said that the two got into an argument about sexual orientation when the woman told Rogers she is transgender. Rogers then pulled out a gun, police said. The woman struggled with Rogers over the gun and she was shot in the shoulder. The incident was caught on surveillance video. Rogers fled the gas station in a vehicle, leaving his 27-year-old companion behind with her child. Police said the child was unharmed. This motherfucker gets into an argument with a woman in the gas station, shoots them in the gas station after finding out this person is transgender. But we're supposed to be cool. We're supposed to be cool with the jokes. We're supposed to be cool with the idea that Kevin Hart did nothing wrong by not apologizing. Fuck you, man. The idea that you can't compare the two, that gay people aren't being marginalized, gay people aren't being killed, gay people aren't being made fun of, gay people aren't being assaulted simply because of who the fuck they are. And then on top of that, to say that, well, you can't compare that to being black. Nigga, you stupid. That's the dumbest shit I've heard in a long goddamn time. And then you got like motherfuckers like Redman. Redman decided he want to give his 2 cents on this shit. So we're going to play this video here.
You know how sometimes you just got a button, just that button when you're not even political, you know, it's just that button. And this dude, Kevin Hart, man, always wanted to do the Oscars, man. And just because of a certain community wanting him to re-apologize. Fuck that. Don't fucking host the Oscars. I support the Hart family on that. I support your decision, Kev, because I'm free. And y'all need to start paying attention to Paul Mooney, man. He said he living free. That means he don't give a fuck about the big checks. He don't give a fuck about your Oscars. He don't give a fuck about nothing that ain't...
Now, you just totally went over the fact that, yo, that was Kevin Hart's dream, right? You started this whole fucking video talking about, yo, that was his dream. He walked away from his fucking dream by not apologizing for some shit. He also, for some shit that he apologized for later. This is stupid. This is fucking dumb. And each and every last one of you niggas who keep coming out talking about some, yo, Kevin Hart wasn't wrong, man. Kevin, I wouldn't apologize either. None of you niggas were in the position that Kevin Hart was for one. None of them were asking y'all asses to host a goddamn thing. When was the last time any of us was asking Redman to do any goddamn thing? Like, can anybody like find out when the last time anybody asked Redman to do anything? Right? He starts off this video talking about how this was Kevin's dream and Kevin walked away from a dream because his pride got in the fucking way. He also said that he's not a political person, but this is the particular fucking issue that made him want to come out and say something to come against the LGBTQ community. It's us, bro. It's us. It's too many of us feeling as though we ain't wrong when we're so fucking wrong. He continues, though.
Supporting the culture. Dudes like us to start really fucking stepping up who's not political. It takes more than just passing out turkey. Just passing out a couple of dollars to homeless people. Let's start putting our people in position. So we can start making executive decisions.
So when he says our people, does that not include the gay people who are also black? Right? Because that seems to get lost in the sauce. All these, see, here's the thing. Here's the crux of the motherfucking matter. And I think this sometimes gets lost. When black people think about gay people, they're not thinking about gay black people. They thinking about gay white people or specifically gay white men. When we think gay people, we're thinking gay white men. We're not thinking about our cousin who's gay. We're not thinking about our aunts who are gay. We're not thinking about grandma who might be gay. Right? We're not thinking about that. We're thinking about white people. And so in thinking about white people, it's very easy for us to dismiss the challenges that gay black people may be dealing with when it comes to navigating this fucking world. There's that disconnect. There's that disconnect. Because not in all of this shit that Redman is talking about right now, he's not even thinking about gay black people who have to deal with the bullshit within the community outside of fucking with white people. Because it ain't just white people that fuck with them. It's us too. It's us too, man. And so many of you niggas are getting on loud and wrong. Loud and wrong, man, for no fucking reason. And it's frustrating, man. It's frustrating. I can't tell you how many times I've had these conversations with friends of mine, man. I can't tell you how many friends I've lost because of how I feel about this particular topic now and compared to how I felt about this topic 10 years ago. Right? It's frustrating because they don't fucking get it. And to some degree, some of them just don't want to. Right? We got this whole struggle Olympics thing going on where we think that, well, if they get rights, then that comes at our detriment. And it's much the same way, especially with brothers, man. It's much the same way that white men look at equal rights for everybody as though, like, yo, if we give them rights, then damn it, that means less for us. When the table is big enough for every motherfucking body. A rising tide like lifts all fucking ships. If all of us ain't free, then none of us are. But if you looking at the gay community as though they're taking rights away from you, forgetting the fact that yo, they're black gay people too. This isn't just something that like white people got going on by themselves, right? Y'all think there wasn't gay slaves? Y'all think that they didn't face probably harsher treatment being slaves that were gay? Y'all think that white folks introduced homosexuality to the slaves when they got here? Y'all on that Hotep shit like that? Is that how we get to this point? It makes no fucking sense, man. Not at all. But Redman out here talking about he apologized and all this shit. That's another thing too that I really found this crazy. Like out of all of this shit, everybody keeps saying that Kevin Hart apologized for what he said, right? Before this whole because I searched. And everybody like, yo, you know, Kevin Hart apologized, man. They keep bringing up old shit, you know what I'm saying? But he already apologized. I ain't about to keep apologizing for the same shit, yada, 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 yada. And I looked for his apology. Didn't really find an apology about this stuff. But I did find a video of him talking about this a little bit on TMZ. So we're going to play this video. Check this out, y'all.
They want to make something out of nothing. So if you give people ammunition, which is a reply, which is a constant excuse or a constant apology, you're setting yourself up for more comments.
But you know we're very sensitive when it comes to
too
color.
Too sensitive.
They're going to say too sensitive.
Too sensitive.
Because they're going.
Again, there's that argument about folks being too sensitive. You can't be out here judging folks on their sensitivity when you know that there are everybody's got their shit, right? Everybody's got their shit. Like, I know folks who would think that it's just jokes when it comes to this gay shit, right? When it comes to this quote unquote gay shit, when it comes to these gay jokes, it's, oh man, it's just jokes, man. Y'all gotta let it roll off your back, man. You know, you gotta be like a turtle, you know what I'm saying? Let it roll off your back. But then when it comes to racist issues, when it comes to issues dealing with police, and police interaction with black folks in the community, suddenly those jokes, depending on who they coming from, ain't jokes. And you ready to go at a nigga's neck for those jokes. Right? Everybody has their line. Now, if that person said you were being too sensitive about Black Lives Matter, about the police killing black people within the community, if that motherfucker said you was being too sensitive about that, you'd be ready to knock their fucking head off. Ready to knock their fucking head off because you get that. You understand racism. You understand that shit because it's something you have to live under every fucking day. Newsflash, niggas. Gay people have to live in a world that's homophobic every fucking day. And sometimes you are the nigga they got to worry about. Sometimes it's you. Just because you also suffer from discrimination doesn't mean that you can't therefore perpetuate it yourself. You have privileges in other ways too. Being a cishet black man. Motherfuckers out here talking about some, yo, man, it's a choice though, man. They choosing to be gay, man. Like, I can't be mad. Like, I can't be out here, like, fucking around, man, being all fucked up because of their choices, man. Like, nigga, when was it, like, if it was a choice, man, when was the last time you volunteered to suck a dick? You choosing this, right? This is all a choice for a lot of motherfuckers. You, when was the last time you were like, hey, man, you know what? I think I'm just going ahead and suck a dick tonight, man. You know, that's, I mean, it's what it is, man. I'm going to go ahead and suck that dick. How many of y'all out here legitimately are just choosing that since it's such a choice? You couldn't see yourself doing it, could you? All your life you've known yourself to be attracted to a woman, right? Oh, man, the supple, is, her breasts are so supple. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, her curves, man. Like, I love when she arch her back, man, and she do, you know. All your life you've been that way. But when it comes to them being in the LGBTQ community, it's a choice. People are choosing to be assaulted on trains. People are choosing to be shot in gas stations. That's part of the choice. Niggas, are you dumb? Really? Like this it gets ridiculous after a while. This is just stupid. Just dumb. No other motherfucking way to put it. And one of the reasons why I believe that folks don't really, they don't really want to make the comparison between racism and homophobia or discrimination against the LGBTQ community because they know it's a fucking valid comparison. And they don't have any other fucking... They don't have a defense. They don't have one. All of the defenses that folks make about people being homophobic are flimsy as fuck. And it's part of the reason why so many of these niggas go back to slavery, even though none of these niggas have never been slaves. Right? It's part of the reason why they go back to that. Well, nigga, until you show me a gay person that been a slave for 300 years, like... Nigga, there were black people who were also gay who made slaves, bro. It doesn't hold weight. Not in the least. But there's more to this non-apology that Kevin Hart gave.
I want to say, well, you drew a line at homosexuality. Why didn't you draw a line at us?
Here's why I draw a line at homosexuality. Homosexuality right now is in a place where it's not a joke to them. And I don't even like to use the word them, okay? The words and terms that were used at a certain point in time are considered slander, are considered violent terms due to the fact of all of the hate crimes that have been had and all of the verbal attack that people have had, whether it be in school, whether it be in a work environment. It's blown up to a bigger thing. So I personally... don't think it's funny. I don't joke about it. I don't.
Okay. You don't think it's funny. You don't joke about it anymore. Hey, nigga. Apologize. Keep making your paper. Keep it moving. The end. That's it. That's the ball game, everybody. We are out of here. That ball is long gone. We're done here. But by not apologizing, you lose an opportunity. You lose that opportunity and then apologize on the back end only because now you're trying to save some shit. You're trying to save the bag, homie. I gotta protect the rest of this shit now because I flubbed it in the beginning. listening to these other stupid motherfuckers who don't have the position that I have telling me I shouldn't apologize. That's stupid. It's fucking dumb. It's just fucking stupid, man.
I want that problem. I don't need any enemies at all. And I've seen comedians that have said things, and I've seen
it can stop a career. Oh, let's be honest.
What? Stop a career? That's an understatement.
He knows this, and yet and still decided, nah, I ain't doing it. He thought he was bigger than this shit. He thought he could just say, nah, fuck it. I'm too big for this. This was his Negro wake up call. You thought you was too big for this nigga? No, you not. You thought because you was selling out football stadiums, like, nah, you know what? I can totally overstep this gay shit. I can totally overstep this and be all right. No, nigga, you can't. And every last one of you niggas that's been out here defending this shit, talking about it's just jokes, talking about you can't be letting people hold you accountable for some shit that you said years ago, talking about I wouldn't apologize either. Every last one of you niggas is wearing an ass hat this week. This whole podcast has been an ass hat of the week segment. Every last one of you motherfuckers is the ass hat of the week this week here at the Span Report Podcast, because this is beyond fucking stupid. This was a layup, dog. All you had to do was say, my bad. I fucked up. I apologize. I will never say no stupid shit like that ever again. Not just say, oh, I apologize, man. I've addressed this many, many, many times. Like, no, nigga, you haven't. You haven't. You don't get to just say, oh, I apologize, and nobody sees the original apology that you're speaking of. And that was another thing, too. Every last one of the niggas is like, well, he apologized. Nigga, show me where he apologized at. Where? When? Show me. They couldn't show you because it wasn't fucking available. It was nowhere to be fucking found. But they took Kevin's word for it. Kevin said he apologized, therefore he apologized. Nigga, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. But, yeah, man. I've been stewing on this for a while. I've been stewing on this. I needed to get this shit off of my chest. I really did. That's the show. I need us to do better, man. I really do. A partner of mine said to Yo Span, like, when it comes to shit like this, like, you be going hard, bro. Like, you be going hard. Like, you need to chill. And I think the reason I go so hard on shit like this is because I know that we can be better, especially like the dudes around me. I know that we can be better. I know that y'all can't. I know we can, man. I expect so much more of us. And it hurts, bro, for us to be out here being loud, wrong, and stupid. Like, that shit kind of like hurts. It hurts, man. And like I said earlier in the show, that me being on this mic, it may not change a motherfucking thing. The only thing that I can do is I guess make the people around me aware of how I feel and how uncomfortable, or better yet, make them uncomfortable in their ignorance, right? Make them uncomfortable in their ignorance. I think that's what I kind of do, right? I know I can be annoying sometimes. I know it. I know, like, yo, here come this nigga Span, man. Think he know everything, man. I know it. I know that's how motherfuckers like kind of see me to a certain degree. I know this. But ultimately, man, we can't be out here. Like, this is stupid. This is dumb. And the ways in which a lot of brothers are out here operating, acting as if being homophobic is the way to go to assert your manhood, man. We gotta come off of that, man. We really do. And I'm gonna wrap this up. I've been talking for a long time, man. I'm looking at this damn clock right now. I've been talking for an hour and 19 minutes. And I'm tired. But, yeah. I'm gonna get out of here, man. We can't keep dying on these stupid ass hills, man. This is the dumbest hill to die on. But I'm gonna get out of here, y'all. We'll be back here next week. And before we come back, and before we get out of here, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spirit Reporter Podcast and let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to those as well. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man throughout the week. Go to www.thespanreport.com, man. Check out the website. Go there and watch replays of the show. Vote in the polls. You can donate to the show there as often as you like, as much as you like. We appreciate every dime, excuse me, that you guys donate to the Span Report Podcast Network. It really does help us out here at the Span Report. Also, the Span Report Podcast Network store, man. Go there and get yourself some merch. T-shirt, hoodies. We got tank tops and shit in there, although it's not tank top season yet, but we got tank tops in there. We got mouse pads in there. We got a whole bunch of stuff in that store, man. So go ahead and cop yourself a T-shirt or a coffee mug or a thermos or something. Help us out over here at the Spirit Report Podcast Network. We really do appreciate y'all who do that. And I'm about to get up out of here, y'all. It was good talking to y'all, and I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.